You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
The Bible teaches that the human heart is like a garden that needs to be tended and watered. If you don't take care of it, it'll ultimately become dry, then hard, and then cold. Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. In this study, Dr. McGee says the Word of God is like rain on a dry heart, and it's also like a seed. When God plants the seed and brings the rain, wonderful things happen. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'm so glad that you're aboard the Bible bus with us for our study in Isaiah 55. You know, I appreciate the word that this listener in Mariposa, California shares about our text. She writes, "I'm a 78-year-old widow who has listened to you for over 30 years. I've been on many, many round-trip journeys on the Bible bus. From this experience, I can tell you the truths of Isaiah 55, 10, and 11 as I've witnessed in Through the Bible. God promised that His word that goes forth will not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." I can't think of a better example of this than what I've seen God do through your ministry. May it continue to prosper and bring forth much fruit until Jesus returns. I am pleased to send you my financial support because I know it is bearing much fruit. Well, we couldn't ask for a more encouraging report, so thank you to all of our faithful listeners who travel these many miles on the Bible bus, and thank you for your prayers and your sustaining financial support. Now let's pray that more people are going to be able to hear and respond to God's word throughout the world in the days and years to come. Heavenly Father, please grow the seeds of faith that you have planted in our hearts with the water of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here's our study of Isaiah 55 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Friends, if you have turned to the 55th chapter of Isaiah, we'll begin there. Now, you will recall that there is a sequence of events here in Isaiah, as in all the books of the Bible, including Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, which we have seen tells a story, and it is not quite fair to the Word of God or to the writer of any book of the Bible to lift out a chapter. It's not fair to lift out a verse of Scripture and pay no attention to its context as to the meaning of it. Now, in the 53rd chapter, we saw the gospel. We saw a Savior that was dying for the sins of mankind. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is the picture that's presented there. Now, in chapter 55, we have God's very gracious and global invitation of salvation. And the last chapter, 54, confined it to the nation Israel. They were given the first opportunity. And I think that's what Paul meant when he said that the gospel was to the Jew first and then to the Greek or to the Gentile. It doesn't mean he has top priority today, and he shouldn't have bottom priority either, but he's on the same par as everyone else today. But he did receive it first. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached to an all-Jewish congregation. It wasn't a Gentile in the lot at all. Now this invitation goes out to the world, and that makes it remarkable because there have been very few religions or religious leaders that have had a global view. They have not had a world view at all. But notice here that we see the work of the suffering servant in chapter 53 makes possible now the offer of salvation to a lost world in this chapter. And here the invitation is extended to the entire world. And Paul could say, as we've already quoted this in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now we find that it's a worldwide global gospel, and we find here that there is one condition on which men are to receive it. And we're going to see that here in just a moment. This is not, and it reveals, it's not a mechanical offer that's locked up in the airtight compartment of God's election, but it rests upon the free-flowing will of each hearer. He's urged, yea, he's commanded to seek the Lord. Now, will you notice what we have here in verse 1? Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, the chapter here opens with a very heart-rending cry, if you please. And it's the heart cry of God to everyone to pause and consider his salvation. He says, ho! It's like a startled cry for help in the night. He wants every weak soul to behold his mighty bared arm of salvation. Now, the invitation is ecumenical. I do not believe in the ecumenical movement that they talk about today, but I do believe in God's ecumenical movement, and that is that the invitation of the gospel is to go out to the world. And it's limited, we find, though, to one class, and we're going to see here who it is. Ho, to everyone that thirsteth. Now listen, it's to everyone. And everyone, friends, means everyone. It means every man, woman, and child on top side of the earth. It means every man of every station in life, every strata of society, every race and tribe and tongue and condition and color. All here are included. This is an invitation to everyone, whole everyone. But wait just a minute. It now is limited to just certain ones, to everyone that thirsteth. For those who thirst and have been drinking at man-made cisterns of this world, those today that have been drinking at the bars of this earth, this invitation is to those who long to drink deep and long of the eternal springs. Now, I'd like to give a quotation right here from Dr. Jennings, and will you listen to this? And this is the way he begins. And I'm quoting now, let us listen then as if we had never heard the melody of this tender and gracious invitation before. Who are the guests here invited? All who thirst. All that is needed to be welcome then is not to need, for that is true of all, but to want what is offered. Am I utterly dissatisfied with myself? Then I thirst. Am I dissatisfied with all the world can offer me and of which I've tasted? Then I thirst. Is my spirit altogether dissatisfied with all the formalism of religion? Then do I thirst. Blessed thirst. It is the only prerequisite to enjoyment. Now, here is the invitation. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. You say, I'm not interested, I'm not thirsty, I'm satisfied with the things of this life. Then it's not for you, friend. I hate to say it, it's just not for you. You have to be thirsty. And this is the way that the world does it today. A certain bottling company that makes a very popular soft drink. If you've seen these signs, then they put them out here in California on the desert. You'd be riding along on the freeway. All of a sudden, you see a sign with a bottle pushed down in some ice, cracked ice. And my, it looks good. And they have just one word there. That's all. Thirsty? Question mark. thirsty. You're riding along across the desert. They want you to stop at the next filling station and buy a coat because that's what they're selling. And they hope you're thirsty. But you arrive there and you've got a thermos filled with iced tea or some drink and orange juice. And you say, I'm not thirsty. We'll drive on. That's not for you. But if you're thirsty, then pull off at the next crossroads and get you a drink, you see. Now, at the crossroads of life, God has put up the sign, thirsty, ho, everyone that thirsty. Are you thirsty? Are you tired of this world? Have you found out it doesn't satisfy you? Do you long for something better? Well, he says, I have something for you. Ho, everyone that thirsty. And then he mentions here the kind of drinks he offers. Quite a variety, by the way. He says, and he that hath no money. And say, by the way, it used to be a nickel for a bottle of drink, and then it went up to a dime, and then 15 cents. And now out on the desert, or in some places where they're scarce, you'll have to pay 25 cents. My, they've really gone up. And by the time you hear this, it may be up even more than that. But here, this drink is without money. Why? Because back in the 53rd chapter, he paid a price. He's already paid the price for you. Now he says, come ye, buy and eat. Not only drink, but the bread of life too. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, I want you to notice here that there are three kinds of drink. Come ye to the waters, and not only waters, but buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, I'd like for you to look at these three types of drink for just a moment. Now, waters, that's plural used here. And in the Hebrew, that was the way you attain the superlative degree. You didn't say good, gooder, goodest. And you better not say that, though. Good, better, best. Now, the way you said best, you'd have to make it goodies. You'd have to make it plural. Now, here, waters speaks of an abundance. And it speaks also not only of the quantity, but it speaks of the quality of the water. This is water for the soul. And this is the kind of water that the Lord Jesus said, and he used the same kind of an expression. When he stood there that day in the temple area, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now we know where the fountain is. That fountain is Christ. That's the water of life. That's salvation. Now the second drink is wine. And we're not going to get into that argument today, I can assure you. And it speaks of the drink of the soul, which is joy. And that's the meaning of it. In Scripture, for instance, you'll recall in Proverbs 31:6, give strong drink unto him that's ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, we're told, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, joy is that you can only have when Christ is not only your Savior, but when he becomes the master of your life. When you come to know him, you can have joy. And John said he'd written the first epistle that our joy might be full. I saw this in a preacher's study up in Salem, Oregon, and I copied it down. It's a very brief thing. It was a motto that he had in his study. Joy is the flag that is flown in the heart when the master is in residence. And that's a marvelous drink, by the way, to have joy in your heart and just not something put on. Now, milk, that's the third type of drink. Now, milk is essential for growth and development, especially for babes. And that's what the dairies have been trying to tell people today, that everybody needs milk. Well, I'm not entering into that argument either. But the milk of the Word of God today, is essential for spiritual growth. And one of the things we do on this broadcast, we attempt to furnish milk. We're sort of the milkman, and we give out the milk of the Word. Peter put it like this in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Have you ever seen a little baby when its mama's fixing the bottle? The little old fella there that's lying down hungry, he's wiggling his feet, he's wiggling his hands, he's wiggling all over. And with his mouth, he's making all kinds of commotion and a great deal of noise, too. Why? Because he desires milk. And a child of God ought to want the milk of the word. My friend, there's something wrong with you if you don't like the study of the word of God. And that, I'm going to say something that's not nice today, but may I say it? The problem today in our churches, we are entertaining people. We're giving them nice, sweet little courses and this, that, and the other thing, and little talks on this, and banquets and committees and everything else, except the word of God. And why? Because the babies, they're still born, if they're born at all. They have no spiritual life. My friend, we ought to want the sincere milk of the word. Say, this is a great passage of scripture. I'm just through the first verse. Now, verse 2. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, a great many even Christians today spending money, even in so-called Christian enterprises, but it doesn't feed anybody. It's not bread. I rather like the expression today that some of these hippie groups call money bread. Well, the Word of God is bread too, my friend. And there are a lot of Christians put money in that which is not bread, but they think it is. Be well for you to investigate where you're putting your money. Maybe you're just buying up a bunch of sawdust. It won't satisfy your heart and your life. You won't find it in the pleasures of this world either. And you won't find it even in money today. Jay Gould, he had plenty of money, but when he was dying, he said, I suppose I'm the most miserable devil on earth. And Lord Byron, who had, I think, everything this life could offer, fame, genius, money, and all kinds of pleasures. And he wrote, the worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone. What a picture, may I say to you. Why don't you get to the table where you can get some good bread and milk and wine and water? I tell you, that's where we all need to be today. Now, verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now, God was merciful to David, and he will be merciful to you and me today. I had a fellow, I'd heard him speak down in Pershing Square years ago, deriding and ridiculing the Bible. I saw him in church one Sunday evening when I was pastor in downtown Los Angeles. After service, he came up to me, and they always feign this humble approach. You know, he says, Preacher, I have a question to ask you. Why did God choose a man like David? And when he said that, he leered. You knew exactly what the old rascal was thinking. I said, I'll tell you why God chose a man like David, so that you and I would be able to come to him. Because if God will take David, he might take you, and he might take me. And I said, that's the reason, the sure mercies of David. How wonderful they are. Now, he says in verse 4, Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. And the Lord Jesus is called the true witness for us today. In verse 5, Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. And at that time, you know, Isaiah, he didn't know about the United States at all. There's some that think that he did, but actually he didn't. Now, in verse 6, we come to the second division here, and we have an initiation into the ways of God. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Now, the way of God and the way of man are put in contrast and conflict. And the objection is often made that this is not a legitimate gospel call for today, as man is not asked to seek God, but on the contrary, God's seeking man. Well, I will buy that. It's accurate. But the call today, and from the human aspect, human responsibility is not defeated by the sovereign purposes and election of God. And therefore, the Lord Jesus could say, all the Father giveth me, they'll come to me. And he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. They'll come. You can sit on the sidelines and argue all you want to that you're not elect. But my friend, the minute that you come, you're elect, and that's up to you. And he says now, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him to our God, for he'll abundantly pardon. The problem today with man is not mental. You hear people say, oh, I have great questions and hurdles to get over. No, you don't. Well, you have one. That's sin in your life that you don't want to give up. That's the one thing that keeps men from God. Let the wicked forsake his way. And when you do, friend, you're just ready to turn to him. That's when you get really thirsty. Now God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your way. He says, the heavens are high above the earth. And the gospel is not a man-made thing. It's come down from heaven. It's God's gospel. Now, in the third thing here, beginning with verse 10, we have here the third last division, and this is the institution of the Word of God. Now, when the gospel is given out, the emphasis is put upon the accuracy of the Word of God and upon the reliability of it and the importance of it. Listen to this. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, in this closing section, there is a prominence given to the Word of God. That's the only place that the gospel is found, is in the Word of God. Salvation is a revelation of God, and the Word of God now is likened unto rain, comes down from heaven. You see, friends, the gospel is not God asking you to do something, and the gospel is not something that man thinks up. Man does not work his way up to God by some Tower of Babel effort. But he receives God's revelation, which comes down from heaven like rain. And just as the rain comes down, and when I made this tape, we have had a delightful rain here in Southern California, and we hadn't had rain in a long time. How wonderful it was. The rain will cause the earth to become fruitful. And the Word of God's called also the seed, you see. And when the rain and the seed get together in the earth down here in the human heart, then something's going to happen. And he says here, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You see, the rain causes the earth to respond with a green blanket of praise to God. And someday the earth will respond with a note of praise to the Creator and the Redeemer, because we're told creation's groaning and travailing in pain until now. And then he says, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You see, this looks forward to the millennium, when the earth will be redeemed and the curse of sin removed. Because you see, when Christ died, he not only redeemed us as sinners, but a sin-cursed earth. We'll leave off there and pick right up there next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
What an amazing picture Isaiah gives us of the bright and beautiful future that God has planned for those who trust him with their futures. We want you to know that we're grateful for the financial investment that you entrust to us, and we don't talk about it very often, but this ministry is completely funded by faithful listeners like you. If you'd like to know more about partnering with us in taking the whole word to the whole world, beginning in your community and then branching out into more than 250 languages all over the world, You can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. You can visit ttb.org/give. Again, that's ttb.org/give or 1-800-65-BIBLE. As we go, I want to remind you of the many great resources that we have to help you deepen your study of God's Word. One booklet that I'd highly recommend that you check out is What to Do When You Want God's Will. It's from Isaiah 6. To download your free copy, just head over to ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I look forward to opening God's Word with you again next time. Our story on the Bible Bus today is just one step in a 5-year journey through the entire Word of God. Come along for the ride, and you'll study both the Old Testament and New Testament, discovering God's great redemption story. Is this your story too?
Hi, fishing enthusiast. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Well, look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. Thank you. listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, greetings in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To all of our faith partners and radio listeners, we are the church in the city with the city in our hearts. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. The church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Come and be blessed of the Lord. Now here's Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord. Once again, we, as children of God, we thank the Lord for this wonderful day in the land of the living. We know that he loves us because he allowed us another day so that we could praise his holy and wonderful name. So I want everyone out there in Radio Land today to just be very attentive to what is being said today, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He loves you. That's why he came to take your place on the cross of Calvary. And we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why Apostle Paul, in his epistles, was saying that if the gospel is preached, folks will be saved. But if the gospel is not preached, people will be depressed and unregenerated. So we leave that up to the word of God in terms of those that are free moral agents out there in Radio Land, that you have a right to make your own decision in terms of whether you receive the Lord Jesus Christ or not. So today we want to look at what the word of God says here. I want to take you into Romans, the sixth chapter. Praise God. Romans, the sixth chapter. It is the unadulterated word of God that Apostle Paul was preaching to the church of Rome. There were Romans, the Christians living in Rome. And this epistle is so powerful that if we all, including myself and everyone else, would lay hold on what Apostle Paul is saying, because he is the apostle of grace. And Apostle Paul is telling us about the grace of God. It is not about any work or whatever it is that we think that we are able to do, because it's virtually impossible for a sinner to do anything to make his or herself pleasing in the sight of God. God sent forth his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting, or everlasting life. So it is so important that we understand what the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is, and we begin to see what Apostle Paul is laying out for us. Between Romans, the sixth chapter, and the book of Philemon, listen, it's all grace. It's the grace of God. Praise God. So we want to look at what the word says this morning here and give the glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is the one. And this is why it's such an intense spiritual fight, because the enemy does not want you to know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. He wants you to keep with that work mentality of trying to earn something from God when it has already been given to you. You cannot earn what's already been given. God loves you. This is why he came and took your place there on the cross of Calvary. Let's look at what the Word of God says. Not my preference or anything, but what the Word of God says. And that is all we can preach or teach is what God said. The moment that we get into our own preferences and what we want done, then we are definitely out of the will of God. I want you to understand what I'm saying here this morning, that all that we can preach or teach is what the Word of God says. The moment that we don't say with a great deal of elaboration of what the Word of God says, and we put our own preferences there, and that's what's going on. A lot of times people say, oh, well, listen, come here. This is where you can become a millionaire. This is where you can do this, that, and the other. But I want to tell you today that place your faith in the Word of God and only the Word of God. In Romans, the 6th chapter and the 1st verse there, Apostle Paul is saying, what shall we say then? You can't keep no law to glorify yourself. You need grace. We all need grace. It's by the grace of God that we're saved. I said it's by the grace of God that we're saved. So Apostle Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. How? The question is, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How can we, when we are dead to the sin nature through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? That's what have us doing all of the crazy things, so to speak. It's that sin nature, born in sin, having a nature that will have you to commit sin. But Jesus Christ, and he alone, is the one that is responsible for us all walking in this grace. So, Minister Gloria, we want to look at this scripture by scripture. The Bible tells us line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there, that those that have tuned into the broadcast, they would see what we're talking about as a child of God and what the Word of God is saying. How can you, if you are in Christ, your life is hid with Christ in God, how can you continue in sin? The scripture gives us clear understanding that it cannot happen. Not that you're perfect, but it cannot happen. His seed remain in you. So he says here, how can we live any longer therein?
And he says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death.
Listen to what the Bible says. Not what I'm saying per se, but what the Bible is saying. Know ye not, or don't you know this, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. He's not talking about water baptism. He's talking about being baptized into the body of Christ. Now, that's clear, the body of Christ. How can you? We cannot continue in sin. We're in Christ. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Good God Almighty. What else, Minister Lord?
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death.
Into his death. We were buried with him by baptism into his death. Praise God. Praise God. We are in Christ. That's who we are in. We are not in, per se, an organization from a spiritual standpoint. Naturally, you are in an organization, naturally. But the scripture is telling us that we are in Christ Jesus. We're in the body of Christ. You cannot get into the body of Christ except through a baptism by the Holy Ghost. That's all you can get in there. Once you repent of your sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit goes to work, baptizing you into the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, the scripture tells us, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Greek, bond or free, we've all been made to drink of one spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that places us into the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can come to church in a building, become part of a membership, and so forth, but it does not mean that you are in the body of Christ. You are in a physical church. But once the Holy Spirit places you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul's telling them. Don't you know this? Other words, knowing what he's saying is, well, don't you know that for as many of us as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, that word, Jesus Christ, we were baptized into his death. And we were buried with him in the baptism into his death. Praise God. He is our substitute. He is the one that took our sins and nailed them to his cross. And what is it saying, that Minister Glory, that he is baptized, we were baptized into his death?
Mm-hmm. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life.
Can you see that? Being baptized into Jesus Christ, our sins were laid on him. When he went into the tomb, he took our sins with him. When he was buried, we were there with him. God the Father, in the mind of God, he sees us dying with our Lord Jesus Christ, being buried with him, and rising again on the third day. He rose on the third day. We rose with him, but in the newness of life.
Amen.
In the newness of life. Our sins were laid on him. Our sins was placed on Jesus. When he died, he took our sins with him, buried with him. They went into the grave with him, came up. We came up in the newness of life. And we thank God for that, that we walk in the newness of life. As a child of God, we've been placed into the body. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is so important. This is why many people today, they are in the church building, of fellowship, but they're not in Christ. And it's sad to say, if you're there in a building and you have not given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not died with him and buried with him and rose again with him in the newness of life, then you are literally not in Christ. From a spiritual standpoint, you are not in Christ. Literally, you're in just an organization with your name on a church roll, fellowshipping with other people. But if you are in Christ, and that's the most important thing that we want to let everybody know, in Christ. Praise God. So, Minister Gloria, read the next verse here.
For if, that's the qualifier, we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Hallelujah.
Praise God. If we've been planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen.
Other words, his resurrection is our resurrection.
Praise God.
He rose on the third day. We rose in the newness of life. Praise God. Praise God. New life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. Go ahead, Minister Gordon.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
How can we serve sin? Jesus took everything and nailed it to his cross. And listen to what the scripture says, not what I'm trying to tell you, but I'm just echoing what the word of God says. Knowing this, this is something that we must know that are in Christ Jesus. Knowing this, that our old way of life prior to our conversion, otherwise before we were converted, Jesus took the old man, the old way of life, and nailed it to his cross. Good God Almighty, and nail it to his cross. That's why it says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that this body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Good God Almighty.
Amen.
We don't serve that old nature. In other words, the old way of life, what was causing us to commit sin, the old way of life has now been not eradicated, but disconnected, so to speak, or deplugged. In other words, it having no power over us because of what Jesus has done. He took it and he nailed it to his cross. Thank God he nailed it to his cross. So it says that the old man was crucified, was put to death with him on the cross of Calvary. That's powerful.
Yes.
Isn't that? That's powerful.
Yes, it is.
Was crucified with him. Mm-hmm. And the reality of what I am saying is that prior to our conversion, we were a sinner. But the moment that we got baptized into Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we walk victoriously.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And the old way of life was crucified with Jesus on the cross. Praise and God. We must believe that.
Yes. That's why I said knowing this.
Yeah, knowing this. This is something that we must know all the time.
Amen.
That the old way of life has been crucified with Christ. When something is crucified, it's been put to death.
Put to death.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
been put to death. And Jesus did it. And it was so powerful. He broke the power of sin. Praise God. He broke the power of sin, where what was causing us to sin no longer had the power over us. And that was the sin nature. That nature that causes us to sin has now been disconnected, deplugged, but not eradicated. Don't get me wrong, but has not been destroyed. And that's why you can see people when they look at certain things and they begin to not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a look that takes place where these things start coming back on them. And before you know anything, they're back at an old way of life doing this thing. But I want to tell you something today, that if you really believe that you've been baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about water baptism now. Don't get me wrong. I'm speaking of being baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. You will know that the old way of life has been put to death. Now, when they say the old way of life has been put to death, that means that he has given us power over the sin nature, where we are able to live the life that we should as a child of God. You want to read the next verse?
For he that is dead is freed from sin.
For he that is dead is free from sin. That is something. If you're dead to the sin nature, you're free from sin. Doesn't mean that you're perfect. We all make mistakes. But the most important thing is that we have one, when we make a mistake, we have Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Amen.
We come to him and confess whatever it is that we've done. Not to continue to practice that, but to confess it before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, I want to say something else here. You know, Apostle Paul not only said that in Romans, he went into Colossians there, the I think it's the second chapter there, in verse 15. I think it's 15. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise God. Colossians 2 and verse 15.
Mm-hmm. It says, in heaven.
Yes.
For principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it.
Yes. So having spoil. Mm-hmm. See, he did this for us all that are in him, having spoiled principalities and powers. And he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He did that on the cross of Calvary. That's what he did on the cross of Calvary. That's why we walk in the newness of life. We are dead to the sin nature. That nature has no power over us as a child of God, because we are in Christ. And that's why Paul said, he that is dead to sin, you're free from it, so to speak. He that is dead is free from what? What does he say there? He that is dead is
freed from sin.
Is free from sin, mm-hmm. From the sin nature, what was causing us all to sin, because we are now dead to it. We are alive to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are dead to that nature that used to cause us to sin. The nature is not dead,
no.
But we are dead to it and alive to God. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. And we are walking. That's why every time that nature will try to show up, we as a child of God openly say, our old man has been crucified with Christ.
Hallelujah.
That the body of sin might be destroyed. Mm-hmm. henceforth we should not serve sin. We should not serve that nature. You want to read the next verse?
Now, if we be dead with Christ,
yes,
we believe that we shall also live with him.
Praise God. If we are dead with Christ,
mm-hmm.
we shall also
believe that we shall also reign with him.
Reign with him.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more.
Amen.
Death has no more dominion over him.
We are in him. He is in us. If death has no dominion over him, it has no dominion over us.
That's right.
Because we are in him, mm-hmm. and he is in us.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's wonderful.
Praise God. You know, we look at the situation where death has no power mm-hmm. over us.
Mm-hmm.
Has no power over us. Praise God, because we are in Christ.
Praise God.
We are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And many out there in Radio Land, I want to let you know that no matter what you're going through, you're in Christ. And Christ is in you. So whatever you're going through, he's going through it with you.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Well, we see that our time has slipped away here. And we want to extend an invitation for you to know who you are in the Beloved, the one in whom you have received as Lord and Savior of your life. And his name is Jesus, the risen Savior and the ascended Lord.
In Romans 10:9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God, by faith. Recognize your position in terms of where you are, whether you are in Christ or you in an organization. Christ brings forth eternal life. Organization, if that's where you are, it brings forth death. So Jesus Christ is eternal life. God bless you all out there in Radio Land, is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.